My Google Calendar's telling me it's time to record.
Oh.
Wake up, honey. It's time for your Survivor podcast.
What are you recording?
The Survivor podcast.
Oh. Never heard of it. Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where Jeff lets us know that Kenny's got two balls and one strike against him on this episode. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared.
God damn it.
How you doing?
God damn it.
God fucking damn it, Stephen.
Yeah. I'm okay. I feel like I am now just telling you this after hanging out with you for the last 30 minutes or so. I could have a cold coming on. I don't think so. I think it's just allergies.
If you get me sick before I go on vacation...
I hope not.
I'm going to throw you out this window.
The weather's like whipped back and forth six times, so yeah. I think it's just that. Really hoping it's just that.
I'm hoping it's that too.
Yeah. If I felt even more than like 50% likelihood that I was sick, I'd be like, no, we can record virtually today. But I think I'm fine. I also have a funny little anecdote that I think you'll find charming.
Go on.
I find annoying. So I was going back and forth the last couple of weeks, like some days making coffee at home, some days getting Dunkin', really depending on like how much time I had and like if I wanted a little treat, if I needed really something to get myself out of bed. And I was like, yeah, the Dunkin' is hitting way harder than my coffee at home, which it always does. I feel like they put cocaine in it now. But I was like, my coffee at home just like... I guess I'm just like more tired. I was on a new, like I like changed a medication or like it went up, the dose went up a little bit. And I was like, okay, well that could just be it. Whatever. Turns out I've been drinking decaf for 2 weeks. It's the exact same packaging. There's just a little thing that said like water filtered decaf or something like that for 2 whole weeks.
And you go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I felt pretty dumb. I really wish I could read. Really wish somebody would have taught me to read at some point.
You know, it'd be helpful, but can't stop you, I guess.
That sign can't stop me, because I can't read.
I can't read.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Doing all right. I had the most joyous run to the dentist over lunch today.
Okay. Why?
Just a regularly scheduled cleaning. Mm. It wasn't supposed to be now, but they called and they're like, hey... we have an opening if you want to get in a month earlier. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? It's been longer than it should have been already, so let's just get it done now.
Yeah, I went like 7 years.
Wait, you haven't been to the dentist in 7 years?
I have now.
Holy shit, I got fillings last fall. Jared. Okay.
Yeah, it'd been a while.
See, here's the problem.
Maybe not that long, maybe like 5 years. It was definitely pre-pandemic.
If that were me, my teeth would be melting in my mouth. Because I have the weakest fucking teeth, I guess, in the world. Because every time I go, I have a cavity.
Oh, shit.
And it pisses me off.
Yeah. So you don't drink cola, really.
I don't. I don't drink soda. I don't drink... I, like, cut a lot of caffeine. I do have a sweet tooth. That is the problem.
Oh, yeah. Famously, I do not.
And I've gotten real, like, rigid with my brushing and, my pre-bed cleaning my mouth structure.
Do you floss?
I do floss. And
I pull off my face and I'm actually your dentist.
And I got a water pick too. Oh. So like I am on it.
Are we getting old?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I got a mouth guard
because
I grind my teeth in my sleep because like I hold so much tension that if I ever fully released, I would just like explode. Like it'd be like Mr. Elastic. Like I just like expand because I've been holding the tension so tight for so many years. Mm-hmm. Everyone told me I was going to hate it, like falling asleep with it in. I actually kind of like it.
No, it's not bad.
It's better. How bad I clenched my jaw when I was sleeping. Having a mouth guard in is more pleasant.
Do you have the dentist made one? Yes. Or did you get one for? Okay.
They told me last fall that they're like, you need one, but we'll wait until the spring when you come in for this cleaning so that you can like my insurance wasn't going to cover like. I was going to hit my maximum.
How much did you pay for this?
With insurance, not a ton.
Okay.
But like getting the mold to my teeth. I know you can do like you do it in the microwave and then stick it in or whatever. I just wanted a lab to do it. It literally snaps onto my teeth. It's fucking wild.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
I had the same conversation with my dentist and they kept pushing for the, yeah, we got to do this. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Insurance is covering it, right? No, it's going to be $500. And I said, I'm going to go buy the old football mouth guard and just figure it out from there.
No, what? No. No, that's not how that works.
Well, it's a nighttime mouth guard that I do the whole process of like putting it in the cup and
That fucking putty they make you stick on your teeth.
It's awful.
It's horrible.
It's so bad.
And I have a really active gag reflex.
Same.
Yeah. Woo.
Jared, high five same person.
For that for some reason. Steven, we are very different.
It's true.
I almost vomited. They had to get it off my teeth so quickly. I mean, it was at the end of it, but like, oh, it started creeping back there and just like, I couldn't do it.
Did you have braces growing up?
No.
Okay. I had braces. And then when you get braces removed, they have to put in a permanent retainer.
Oh.
So like, it's just a bar at the back of your teeth to keep them all in place.
Oh. You have a bar behind your teeth?
No, because my gag reflex was so bad that they couldn't put it in fast enough. I was like full on melting down in the chair. This is me as a 16, 17 year old person. Like, this wasn't me as a child.
Yeah.
I was like sweating and crying. And like, I think they thought I was having a panic attack, and I was probably pretty close because I couldn't handle it. They wanted me to sit in that chair with things in my mouth for like a full half hour. Couldn't do it.
See, thankfully I have mastered the power of dissociation.
Mm.
So when they were doing the fucking like mold, even though I was, because I think I had to sit in there for like 10 minutes or something like that, I was on another planet, dude. I was in the astral plane. Nothing could bring me back into my body. I was just gone.
Mm. That on top of, I have a very, this is going to sound awful, I have a wet mouth. I'm very saliva heavy, you see.
A very wet mouth, you say.
You're welcome, the internet.
You can just picture that one. That one's free. Next one will cost you. A new tier on our Patreon.
So like,
get to see Steven's wet mouth.
Stop, no. While I was in the chair and things in my mouth, like all of the saliva drains to the back of your throat and I'm like drowning in my own saliva.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
I know her well.
Just awful.
I have bad sinuses. I don't know about bad, but like I have a lot of allergies, all that. You all have heard me sniff on mic. I do my best. It's just kind of constant.
I try to cut it out when I can.
Yeah, me too. It just kind of like sometimes sits like at the glottal, I think.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, the glottal stop. Science. It'll just kind of sit there
anatomy.
And gets like moved. Well, anatomy is science.
Yeah.
We're saying the same thing.
Sure. Science rules.
Science does rule. I wish I was smarter. I wish I was science smart and not like art smart. Because that just is more useful in general, you know?
See, the problem is I am science smart and I chose to go the arts route.
That was fucking stupid.
Because I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, that was really dumb.
No, I like the arts.
Me too. Fucking stupid arts.
I was trying to find a way to move from that to emails, and I'm like, I don't want to call emails stupid.
You know what's not stupid?
What?
God damn it, Steven.
Emails! If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. You can follow us on Patreon, shoot us a message. We have...
I'm done. Steven's looking for a new co-host. Apply if you want to.
No, you've committed to this, Jared. That's I have true. A signed contract with your blood.
My blood's not worth anything.
Okay, first email comes from Josh. Josh says, Randy has admitted that what he said at Tribal was racist and has apologized for it repeatedly over the years.
Good for him.
So there you go.
Yeah.
When Crystal appeared on one of Ken's Twitch streams, she said the two of them are cool now, and she'd like to go on a Survivor Rivals season with him.
Cool.
That's fun.
Ooh, that'd actually be really fun.
It would be. Ken also said he really liked and respected Randy, / ironically, I do think Randy has less post-season beef than some of the other less argumentative cast members.
Okay.
Because he got it all out there, right there.
A short fuse, but a quick recovery time.
And you know what? The longer you look at Randy, the more you're like, he just prefers to be alone, and he was forced to be in a situation with people where you're like, ah, I don't think he's ever had to adapt like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to learn what Randy... Well, I guess I won't know fully until after Heroes versus Villains. But yeah, like where his life kind of went after mm-hmm. this. Because there's some things in there that, like, just from reading between the lines seem, like, very sad.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean people can't, like, learn and grow and change. And, like, that's cool.
Yeah. I think you may have slightly misunderstood what I said in my last email. All merges going forward will have 10 or more people, unlike this season, which had 9.
So they might merge early, but they never merge late again.
Okay. Right. To me, it always came off that Jeff just wanted to embarrass Randy when he asked who he voted for. There have been multiple instances so far where people have just written initials and he's never questioned it.
Yeah, I would need to know what Charlie and Corinne's last names are, which I don't know off the top of my head. Because if they're also CC, then like, eh. But that's also like super like likely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie was out at that point, but Corinne was in. Which is...
No, that was the vote that got Charlie out.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fair. Since you brought it up in this episode, I'd also like to ask Jared specifically how heavy-handed he thinks the past couple seasons have been. I'm assuming from production.
Mm.
In my opinion, the show makes it very clear which alliances are going to dominate the season from very early on. But I'd like to ask if you feel the same way having watched it for the first time.
I kind of do, yeah. I mean, I feel like Micronesia is a bit of a... That one's hard to analyze objectively because, yes, the favorites dominated. Also, the favorites should have dominated it. And also, they're the people we already knew. So, of course, we spent more time with them.
Right.
So, like, that one just by default is a little more obscured, I guess. But no, China and Gabon, I feel like you can tell which is the protagonist group, the group that's going to make it far, pretty much right away. I mean, Gabon, at least the Shrek Alliance, I thought maybe would be something.
Mm-hmm.
But Survivor's always had this to a lesser extent. Like, I don't remember a season I went in and by like episode 3, I didn't know at least who was going, like, which group was going to be the stronger group going into the merge.
Sure.
Like, Vanuatu, it was obvious that it was the women. All-Stars, it was obvious that it was Boston Rob. Like, I'd say Amazon was a little harder to tell. You could tell, and this is also, it's the most obvious when one group is also the more entertaining on camera.
Mm.
Like, Panama's a really strong example, and Pearl Islands, where, like, the tribe that did better was also the tribe that was more entertaining, so it's a slam dunk. Like, who cares if it's obvious?
I think weirdly my having watched more Survivor actually gets in the way of the ability to kind of suss those things out in that Survivor gets better about hiding who is going to be in the, like, oh, who's going to be a main character this season. So I trick my brain into being like, oh, surely it can't be this obvious.
I have also done that but more with like individual competitors rather than which group, even Fiji. Like, it felt obvious that the have-nots were going to go farther than the haves in Fiji, just with the amount of time we spent on them.
Sure.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Okay. Like, I'd like it to be, I guess, a little more balanced at times, but the how we get there is just as important as the what it is going to be. Like, just because I know, or just I felt early on, that the original Fong were going to be the ones that made it farther in the game. The question of how was there the entire time, because that tribe is a fucking disaster.
Yes.
And honestly, the question of how was way more interesting than the question of who.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Then I'm going to move on to Carl. Carl's episode 7 email. Picture the episode. Oh my God. It's I'm just going to show this. You can enjoy that. It's a GIF.
The reaction. Susie Onage.
Susie Onage.
Of Connor, or of Marcus's vote.
Yeah. Old Survivor Sucks GIF brings memories back. That's funny. Notes. Marcus's boot caused maybe the biggest Edgic meltdown of all time. Fans who were tracking Edgic were absolutely convinced that Marcus was the winner based on his edit. So when he went out 10th, it seemed to blow up the entire foundational logic of Edgic at its core.
Mm. That's because we're seeing this a lot more. I mean, Edgic has been around a long time, but we're seeing, and then the, at its core, if I'm understanding it correctly, it's about like data-driven analysis.
Mm-hmm.
That data-driven analysis is not the end-all be-all, especially for storytelling.
Sure.
Like, you don't want your stories to become algorithmic.
Well, and you don't think Survivor catches on to these things,
right?
When people are providing nice charts for you, you can be like, oh, I'm going to do this just to mess with them.
Well, and it's also, that's true. I'm sure that's very true. It's also funny because I don't know the Edric scores, obviously, but it feels like Ozzy had a very similar one in Micronesia, but it felt more obvious he was going home because all of his stuff was talking about how cool he was and how he was in control and how he was never going to lose.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, well, that's the kiss of death right there.
Surely this will not work out for him.
But Marcus isn't like a showboater, so it just kind of happened quietly.
Marcus did have an odd edit too. He's the leader of the alliance who it seems like the editors want you to root for because they're contrasted with Fong, who just gets shit on in every recap.
Well, yes, the recap makes it more confusing. They are the lovable underdogs, though.
Yet he gets no character scenes at all, other than being an object of Charlie's lust.
Yes.
Not that I'm complaining. I thought Marcus was a bit of a condescending tool.
He's fine.
The players later testified that the merge feast was very long, and that in the middle of it, the producers gathered up to have a meeting about what they should do. Should we let the Onions go ahead and pagong everyone, or should we try to fuck up their plans, basically?
Wait, but that doesn't make any sense because they had the thing sitting there that was like, when you open this, the merge feast is over.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that told them they weren't merging. So did they place that midway through the meal?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, interesting.
Hmm. Because of how the swaps worked out, Randy actually held the record for most challenges won in a row for a very, very long time.
Interesting.
And he still might. I just haven't paid as much attention for a while. I don't know that that's true. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Token Sheens is pretty good, but I would not say it's vastly preferred over Gabon. If anything, I actually think Gabon has slightly higher approval ratings on average.
Whoa.
More on that at the finale.
Okay. Huh.
Neat. And then one PS here. Just another thought on Gabon's popularity. It's extremely popular in some circles and mid or extremely unpopular in others. Token Sheens, I feel, trends to usually be mid to slightly above average tier.
Okay.
So I guess I don't know which one is more popular on average because Gabon is so polarizing, but I do feel like it has more people that would put it in their top 10 than Token Sheens does.
Okay. Yeah, more divisive. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have no idea where I rank this season. I guess it's going to depend on how it ends, but man, it's... Some of those episodes, those are some low lows.
Fair. I'm going to do one more here, and then we'll circle back because we're doing two today. From Michael C. Michael C.'s Gabon Episode 8 email. Getting this in early because it has some of the behind-the-scenes info regarding Kenny/Charlie that I think you'll want to know, as it does color my perception of Kenny. All right, here we go. So Kenny allegedly... We like allegedly.
It's a very important word.
Way to cover your bases. Referred to Charlie by the F slur numerous times before getting to know him. Don't like that.
Gamer speak, as they call it.
His defense post-show was that he wasn't sure whether Charlie was gay or not until he met him post-merge. That those words aren't homophobic because he's a gamer and is part of the vocab.
No, shut the fuck up.
And he's never apologized in the years since Gabon. Given later events and claims by Kenny for stuff in the season, it makes me doubt a lot of what he alleges post-show when he can't own up to his own comments here.
Well, it sounds like if what you're saying is like the full context and all of that, it sounds like he admits to doing it because he says like it's not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So then that sounds like he's saying, and yes, I did it. Like even if that's not what he's like actually saying.
But if I did it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's gross.
That's interesting, too, because I just did a deep dive while Jared was sitting in this chair of the things that Kenny says.
Yeah, the
later.
Cuck chair of information, really. It's sitting over here while you just read stuff that you can't tell me about.
Well, things I didn't know. So I'm like, huh, how much of this do I take seriously and how much of this do I like let it float in the ether?
Interesting.
And I'm honestly very conflicted about it. We'll get there when we get there, I guess.
Let me put it this way. If... if Kenny was a couple years younger, like now, like if he had been around his age, like, or like late teens or whatever in like 2020 through 2025, he'd probably watch Andrew Tate stuff. Like, that wouldn't shock me. I don't know him, but it would make a lot of sense.
Might have been on the wrong side of Gamergate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Charlie calls him out on this tribal council, which is why in his voting confessional, Kenny says, "Sorry, Charlie, it's not like I'm homophobic. It's just that the feast you took the hidden immunity idol from me, and I thought I gotta get you for that. Sorry." Anytime you lead with, "It's not like I'm blank," you probably are implicitly whatever blank you are denying being.
Yeah. What you say before the butt is kind of all that matters sometimes.
And I could see if this was 22-year-old Kenny, but the fact that 30-plus-year-old Kenny has never owned up to it says a lot.
Ooh.
Interesting. "I have some more Kenny allegations and such, but they involve people still in the game, so we'll save that for later. I think some of the things I'm talking about. I co-sign everything you said about Randy and racism, that running the tribe like a gang is not even a dog whistle. It's a dog emergency broadcast alert. I have very mixed feelings regarding Randy that I can get into more whenever his time is up." And we'll get to that in a bit on the show, because I do think he's a very complex individual with some likable traits and some the racism.
I can see that.
So, yeah. "As for Charlie, he seems like a very nice person, and I do believe it was the right choice to cut him before Corinne, Randy, and Bob, because he's probably the only one of them who could have swayed Sugar, because she did like him. She just hated Corinne and Randy too much to ever work with the original Coda."
Yeah, makes sense.
"Charlie's still involved in the fan community and alumni gatherings. He is close friends with Eliza, and they and other NYC native alums will routinely get together."
Aw.
"He's also still close friends with the Codas and a few other people in the cast. Seems like a nice guy who probably needed to try and rein in his allies better.
And not be so boy crazy."
Yeah, and then gives us a heads up about the recap episode. "With brand new scenes, if that messes up your timing schedule."
Unfortunately, I did not get to watch it. And by that, I mean, I just forgot. But Steven did watch it.
I did watch it. So I will give the recap on that one.
The recap of the recap?
The recap of the recap. The bumper of the bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on December 11th of 2008, 2 weeks after the previous episode, because of the recap episode that's listed as number 10. Mm-hmm. So this one will be 10/11, I guess. A few things I pulled in the week between episodes. So this is on December 1st of 2008.
Okay.
"The U.S. economy has been in a recession since December of 2007, the National Bureau of Economic Research announces." Hey, we didn't know it, but we were in it.
I mean,
weird.
That's kind of the case with recessions. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's the obvious free fall plummet ones, but then there's the ones where you're like, I think this is a recession.
Yeah.
But someone has to officially deem it a recession.
You need the indicators, like Kesha releasing a song or like a popular song.
Is Kesha releasing one right now?
She did like a month ago, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like a Trailer Park Rock song? I don't know. That's what it's had something to do with trailer parks.
I feel slightly safe in the fact that I haven't heard this song.
You are not on TikTok as much as I am.
That is fair.
This one, I don't know who the person is, but she has the best name of all time. Kathleen Baskinball.
Okay.
Baskin-Ball, like hyphenated, like last name. American United Methodist pastor passed away. I just like her name.
Half heir to the Baskin-Robbins fortune.
And half heir to the basketball fortune.
Shit.
Forrest J. Ackerman, American literary agent and writer who invented the term sci-fi, passes away at 92. I only want to point that out because somebody had to invent the term sci-fi. It's just science and fiction.
Yeah. I had that same moment of, there was one point in one of my theater classes where someone was like, and this is where the term android comes from. Someone just made it up and put it in a play. And you're like,
that makes more sense to me than like the genre name that is just blank fiction.
Fair.
Because Shakespeare made up a lot of words.
Yeah.
And so do I, but, you know,
but no one's gonna
stick.
No one's going to pick it up and run with it.
When I make up words, they're just wrong and I'm stupid. O.J. Simpson was sentenced, speaking of If I Did It, to 33 years in prison for kidnapping and armed robbery. I didn't even know he did that.
This was about, I think he stole a bunch of memorabilia from like a sporting store.
Why?
I don't know.
Fascinating. Okay. Human remains previously found in 1991 are finally identified by Russian and American scientists as those of Tsar Nicholas II. We found his bones.
We found the Tsar bones.
The Tsar bones.
That could be a Pokemon right there.
Tsar bone?
Get in Tsar bones.
Kirsty Williams elected as the leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats, the first female leader of a political party in Wales, which is why I mentioned that.
Okay.
Ron Blagojevich was arrested, mayor of Chicago. Nope, governor of Illinois. Okay. There we go. Former governor of Illinois, pardoned by Trump, actually, at the end of his first term.
That tracks.
For a number of alleged crimes, including attempting to sell the Senate seat of Barack Obama,
which is
what he was convicted for.
I do remember that, yeah.
A phone call that was recorded of him basically being like, hey, give me money and you will be the nominee, and it's Illinois, so you'll win.
Boy, Illinois and Chicago have some rough political history.
Here's the question I have for you.
Uh-huh.
Are Chicago / Illinois politicians, especially Democrats, more corrupt, or are they punished for their corruption more than others?
Ooh.
That's the question. Because, like, everyone loves to be like, oh, yeah, like, Chicago governors, like, end up in prison. It's like, yeah, but, like, that means we actually fucking convict them.
That's a good point.
Bernie Madoff was arrested for the $50 billion Ponzi scheme of securities. And then Betty Page, who I didn't know anything about, but is, I'm only bringing it up because of Sugar, actually, American pinup model, considered the queen of pinups, and Dark Angel passed away at 85.
Sad.
And the number, well, 85 is a decent life.
Sure.
It's still sad, but what age is no longer sad to you?
I feel like it's a bell curve.
Okay. Like, I mean, yes, but there's, I feel like if, I agree. I feel like 90 is the cutoff where I no longer feel sad at all. I mean, a little sad, but then, like,
you get over 100 and then you're like, ah, you're doing so well.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. 90 is the shrug and go, yeah. Yeah. I'm sad they're gone, but
I feel like I could pull down that to 85. 85 is probably a good long life.
It all depends on a lot of things too, like their health at the time and all that kind of stuff.
Were they a chain smoker as their youth?
Well, I mean, like, how much were they there? You know, like, was it sudden or, yeah, anyway. The number one song on the charts changed to Single Ladies.
Ooh.
If you liked it, you should have put a ring on it.
That dance was something.
It still is.
It still is something.
I'm going to list off the top five movies, but the one I'm talking about today is number seven because fuck you, it's our show, we break the rules. The top five movies were Bolt, Quantum of Solace, Australia, Twilight, and Four Christmases. All those sound boring or like we already talked about them. So I went with number seven, Punisher Warzone. Steven, are you familiar with Punisher Warzone?
Is this a Punisher movie? Like the DC...
Marvel.
It is Marvel?
Yeah, it's Marvel.
Okay.
He's in Marvel Rivals.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Some of these D-list Marvel characters.
Punisher's very popular. And actually, like, Punisher would absolutely kill cops. I'm pretty sure he does in his comics constantly.
And but the cops are the one, yeah.
They love to put his decal on their shit.
Correct.
Media literacy is dead. Anyway, Frank Castle, aka the Punisher, Ray Stevenson, turns the streets of New York City red as he wages a one-man war against the crime syndicate responsible for the death of his wife and two kids. Aided by his trusted sidekick, Microchip, Wayne Knight, he almost kills Billy Rizzotti. That's a fucking mob-ass name.
Hey, it's Billy Rizzotti.
Rizzotti? R-U-S-S-O-T-I.
He's got a nice risotto.
Dominic West, that's the actor's name, and leaves him horribly disfigured. Billy renames himself Jigsaw, and with the help of his crazed brother, Looney Bin Jim.
Stop.
I want to know a guy named Looney Bin Jim.
That sounds like it was early Marvel that they're like, well, I guess we just got to keep it because we don't want to change Looney Bin Jim.
He's load-bearing to the Marvel Universe. Recruits criminals from every corner of the city to do battle with Frank. Now, Steven, this is post-Iron Man. What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
Bad. Real bad. I'm going to go a critic score of 23, an audience score of 32.
You're so fucking close. Critic score of 29, audience score of 42.
Okay.
Punisher Warzone recalls the excessively violent, dialogue-challenged actioneers of the 1980s.
Oh.
And coincidentally feels two decades out of date. Wow.
We're not pulling any punches for the Punisher.
No.
Good.
Pretty good. All right, Steven, you want to give us a recap of the recap?
Yeah, so episode 10 is the recap, and the title of that, I was put on the planet for this show.
Who said that?
Maddie.
Okay.
I should have made you guess. Maddie is the one who says it, and he's just so jazzed about like, oh yeah, I'm here to do this. I'm ready for Survivor.
I probably would have guessed Randy or someone else that had been applying. The other person was maybe Jillian that applied like 30 times.
The weird part about this whole thing is it's not a recap in that we've seen before. They try to like, all right, these are the people who are left. These are their individual storylines.
Oh, okay.
Where I'm like, interesting. Jeff specifically talks about how the underdogs are the ones now running this game. How did we get here? This is how. So I...
They should have paused on Randy getting voted out and then the record scratch. Yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how we got here.
My life is pretty wild. Yeah, they start off with the Coda wins, Coda wins, Coda wins, the montage of, yeah, okay, the superheroes are winning this and they're going to take it to the end. But wait, here's the story of a quiet group of underdogs that fought their way to the top.
Do you, hold real quick.
Uh-huh.
That was a weird thing to say. I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't need to hold you.
Holding?
I mean, I'll hold you if you want
to. Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer.
Sure.
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza. Do you think this season would be better if the Coda Alliance had won?
I don't know.
I don't either. It's a very different season in that case, obviously.
Right.
I think it's edited very differently, I think. And I wonder how interesting some of those, like, how interesting it could have made Charlie and Marcus. And, like, they certainly weren't boring. Like, those people were not, they were not Terry's tribe in Panama. They were not that, they're, like, that's the closest comparison I have for them. But they're more interesting than that.
It could feel very Palau, where you're like, all right, just grind him into the dirt.
Mm.
And then some heroes pop up out of that.
Marcus like, becomes Tom. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Marcus could be Tom. Maddie could be the new
Stephanie,
exactly. And you're like, I don't know.
It's just an interesting what if, because that would be an arguably easier season for them to edit than the one that we have.
Mm-hmm. They immediately, in this recap episode, start showing the audition tapes. And they show a lot of audition tapes. The ones that I want to pull out are one, Ace going full on Pitbull. He's like dressed up in a black suit wearing, I don't know if he's wearing sunglasses, but he bald, standing on the sidewalk, looks like Miami. It's just Pitbull. He's Mr. Worldwide.
Okay. Speaking of Andrew Tate.
Oh. Randy talks about how people suck and dogs are the best. And
I mean, sure.
I'm sorry. I'm undercutting this because Randy's whole thing there was talking about how he lost his dog a little bit ago. Yeah. And he's like there holding the ashes and how much that dog meant to him. And he never truly recovered, and he just like doesn't like people, but he loved this dog so much, and it like it does give a little bit of some lifting up Randy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I find generally the people that say people suck are the ones that suck. Like generally, it is projection, and people not wanting to do like their own growing, and like yeah, people are difficult. Like working, like living in a society is difficult. You have to compromise on a lot of different things that you might not want to. Don't be a stubborn old asshole.
Yeah. And I think Randy is a tough one with that. Like,
yeah,
maybe he had people around him that were worse than Randy.
Yeah, maybe.
And it made him this kind of crotchety old man.
Fascinating.
And Survivor kind of opened him up in a way that he was not prepared for. Yeah, anyway. Survivor. Fascinating game. Bob gives a full, like, he filmed his audition tape at the school that he was working at.
Okay.
So, like, part of it, he's giving a lecture and talking to a camera while kids are in the background. And I'm like, that's not kosher in today's world. Like, those kids would definitely be blurred out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess in 2008,
they weren't thinking of that.
They weren't thinking of that. They weren't they were just people. Like, you couldn't find them. Now, you could use that and look at social media and find them.
And they certainly were not, like, the focus. They were just kind of in the background.
Yeah.
So it's not... It wasn't a big deal. I'm not, like, getting mad at CBS.
No, it's a time capsule thing. Yeah. That's really interesting.
And he goes to the cafeteria, and he's standing there with the lunch ladies, and he's like, on Survivor, you sometimes have to eat the most vile garbage in all of the world. And luckily, I have practice here. And the lunch ladies, like, hit him upside the head, like, okay.
That's pretty good.
Good joke. Maybe not in front of the lunch ladies, my friend.
No, I think they were in on it. That's great. I didn't see it, but...
Yeah.
Denise seemed to not think the food is very good from lunch ladies.
Right. Sugar talks about how she was jobless and homeless at this point. Like,
homeless?
Homeless. I think she was living on other people's couches at the time. And, like, her dad had just recently passed.
Yeah.
So it was very fresh, and she was pretty... raw emotion on that one. Maddie talks about how he needs a little bit of pain and suffering in his life.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, lucky you. You got plenty.
He's a weird fucking guy.
He is a weird fucking
guy. He is a freak.
I like him.
Me too. I love freaks.
And then they kind of get into the, all right, we're adding more stuff to what we already saw. They show a scene where Fong is eating a fruit that they don't really identify. They call it the Gabon pear, and it's apparently not very good.
A pear, Intley? This has been the Survivor Turning Back
Time
podcast.
Attaboy. We like puns. There's another scene of leeches. So, again, at Fong, Randy goes in and is swimming around that, like, lake area and gets a leech on him, and everyone freaks out about the leech.
Sure, yeah. No, that makes sense.
And they're like, we will not go swimming in there, except for Maddie. Maddie's like, no.
Again, weird little guy.
People are just overreacting. I've been swimming in that thing the whole time, and there's been no leeches. And then they show a scene of him getting up out of this lake and going up, and they're like, there's a leech on you.
Did he freak out, or is he just like, eh?
He was pretty like, but then I think he determined, okay, now I'm not going in the lake anymore.
Ah, okay.
But they show the, like, cutting off, like, pulling off the leech and throwing it, and he's like, ah, he got on my cut. That sucker is well fed.
Have you ever had a leech on you?
Yes.
Same. I used to swim in a gross-ass pond at my friend's farm.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. It was not great.
They haven't been on there for very long, so I've definitely got them before they were... as big as this one was.
Oh, yeah, no, I got them off right away.
Yeah. And Corinne talks a little bit about her, like, dislike of Sugar some more, and how Sugar was, like, came up to her and talked to her about how, like, hey, you gotta be nice to people sometimes and, like, bond and things. And she's like, I hate Sugar. I despise her.
Okay.
Speaking of Sugar, they show her, like, she got bored on Exile because she was there so much.
Yeah, of course she did.
So they're, like, showing her writing on the walls, and she made a little apron out of a cloth that was there. She laid out sunbathing a lot.
I'm only, like, 70% kidding when I say if I got sent to Exile that many times, I might just quit. Dude, I don't know if I could take that level of boredom.
It'd be pretty rough.
I don't know if I could do it.
They show Bob building everything. Like, he built a slingshot, a tripod, a spoon, a spear.
Fucking Gilligan.
He's kind of Gilligan here. Corinne was kind of whiny at the...
Really?
I know, right? When they went to the helicopter ride reward, where they had the big picnic on the cliffside... Corinne was like, these people are all idiots because they were so excited and, like, didn't know what a gherkin is, like a tiny pickle.
Okay.
And just like, they were so excited about it, and they like kept asking each other what this was, and, like, it's a pickle. Like, everyone knows this is a pickle. This is so stupid. And then she says the line that I'm like, okay, you're very privileged. Who doesn't know what pate is?
Oh. Yeah, okay. God, she's the worst. I'm so glad she goes home this episode.
She talks about, oh, this is with the Sugar conversation. Sugar lives off the kindness of others, talking about how she was homeless and not educated. She bashes her for not being a college grad. It was, I didn't like that scene.
Yeah, I don't like Corinne very much.
Yeah. And then the last big thing from that episode, all the boys on the Coda, like the original Coda, went skinny dipping.
I'm sure Charlie loved that.
Uh-huh. A lot of blurred out butts in that scene.
Yeah.
Hopefully there were no leeches on that one.
And to be clear, that's not because Charlie is gay. That's because Charlie was obsessed with Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. And to be fair, from the sidelines, I think it was Jackie calling out, "Oh, look at Marcus's butt." Like, they were horny for...
How big's the hog?
They were horny for Marcus's butt. Yeah, those are my big notes from that episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
To somebody who might be listening to this, skip that episode, uh-huh. Would you recommend they go back and watch it?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's not going to drive any plot, but it's a fun watch.
Reinforces what we already know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So then let's move on to episode 11. The good things in life aren't easy.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
Bob sort of crashes out when we get back to camp, huh?
He has a very, like, dad crash out here of, man, you guys were laughing, and that wasn't cool. Like, you want to make Randy the butt of your joke? Fine, but...
Yes, Bob, that was the whole thing they were doing. Why would they not then laugh at that joke?
You didn't need to laugh at that. Like, Bob, you played an instrumental part in this.
Right.
I think he feels guilty.
I agree. He did this under duress,
mm-hmm.
But, oof.
Don't laugh like that. That pisses me off, being a part of rubbing it in his face.
The whole action was rubbing it in his face.
To belittle him as he was going out. And I'm like, I'm there with you, Bob.
The action was way worse than the laughing.
They didn't need to hound him like that. However, he again, on purpose, brought some of the aggro, so people were not too upset to see him go.
His literal strategy was, I'm going to become insufferable,
uh-huh.
So people vote for me.
Correct.
So, yeah, they did.
Yeah. So people start apologizing to Bob, like, sorry, Bob. And Sugar says, I don't feel one bit sorry for Randy. He dug his own grave.
Yeah.
Of course. So then Corinne jumps in on this, pissed off at Sugar. Like, all the lessons you have to teach me about not belittling people, and that's important. That's the one through line to the recap episode of mm-hmm. those two sitting down and, like, trying to learn life lessons together.
Okay.
Like, all these lessons you have to teach me about not belittling people, and then you do that shit. And Sugar's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You talk about people all the time behind their back.
Yes.
And you act so sweet to their face.
Yes.
Like, this is kettle black situation.
Do you remember two episodes ago when Corinne was like, Sugar, oh, yeah, we're going to work together. It's going to be so good. And then her confessional being like, this idiot will believe anything I think. She has no brain cells. She's literally the dirt beneath my shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, shut the fuck up, Corinne.
Yeah. But then also, her point here is valid. Corinne says, if I told everyone what I said behind their backs, I wouldn't be playing a very good game, now would I?
Sure. And I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
But you just say mean shit to say mean shit behind people's backs because you're doing a weird character that also might be you. I don't like it. I'm so glad you're gone.
Both can be true. So yeah, Corinne continues to go off on people. You don't come here to make friends. We come here to play the game. I'm in a camp of mutants. They're hard to be nice to.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a them problem.
Yeah. Anyway.
Although, maybe, I don't know. Maybe some of them suck. We'll see.
Yes, and.
Yes, and.
In the morning, we got a big fish. It's a catfish. And they enjoy fish. Bob's out here MacGyvering things.
Dude is insane. Dude is... He's Yao Man plus. Like, his game is worse than Yao Man, but his, like... Gilliganing is so far ahead of Yao Man.
Mm.
Also, I just love his buff bow tie.
The buff bow tie is pretty great.
It's so good, man.
Yeah. Sugar talks about how smart Bob is, and Kenny, in the same vein, he doesn't look out for himself. He doesn't really play the game. That's pretty stupid. He's taught me a lot out here, but he doesn't play the game.
I would argue what he did yesterday was playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Sugar and the idol. I think he's playing the game. I think he's just playing a very different game.
But yeah, Kenny sees him as a threat. I need him gone, but also he's pretty worthless game-wise. Other ways, he's pretty a problematic.
Yeah, it's tricky, because if Corinne or Bob make it to the final, they probably win the game.
Mm.
Especially Bob. Like, Bob for sure wins this game if he makes it to the end. Because you have Marcus and Charlie and Randy on the jury.
Sure.
That's three votes right there. The other one of them that's not in the final two or three, that's four votes. That's all you need.
Hmm. It's good math right there.
Yeah, math.
That math maths. Anyway, reward challenge.
This is where I wrote down, did something happen with the family visit? Well, they got me.
I can see why you would think that. Yeah, because we come out, we're doing a sprocket-shaped puzzle piece challenge. You have to go run across a swamp, get these puzzle pieces, and bring them back.
That swamp was so fucking gross, man.
It's pretty gross. And then you have to arrange these pieces in ways that they work so that they all spin and then raise a flag. Great. And then the team that wins that will compete in a slide puzzle challenge. So,
which Bob was born to do.
Bob came prepared. He
in the
do
same
that in
way
sleep.
That, like, you can solve Rubik's Cube with your eyes closed if you just know, like, the right moves to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Bob could have solved this with his eyes closed.
Then Jeff says, well, it's been 31 days. It's a long time to go without love. Unfortunately, your loved ones are not going to be coming out around the corner here. So we have the Samsung Instinct from Sprint, and there are videos on this phone.
Product placement.
Oh, how could you tell, Jared?
There's fucking 3 pixels on that phone, too.
It was actually better than I expected it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, that's fair.
The fact that, I mean...
I'm making fun of it from 2025 standards, like, it was.
It was not bad. And then they have videos loaded up onto the phone from all of their loved ones, so... They all get to sit around and watch these videos.
I love that they've pulled this shit before and I still fell for it.
But being in Africa, you're like, I don't know, maybe there's some weird laws that they couldn't get them here or something. I don't know. It's
yeah.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, yeah. It is certainly one where it's like, oh, maybe like the logistics of this were just really complicated, mm-hmm. but... No.
So, yeah, they get a video from Crystal's husband and daughter, Ken's sister, Susie's husband and son, Corinne, giant family, Bob's wife says, I hope you're having the adventure of a lifetime, Maddie's girlfriend and dog, Sugar's sister, instant tears, Sugar's crying this whole time.
I only wrote down them for, like, notes for Maddie and Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Jeff, don't make Maddie's girlfriend weird. He's like, oh, Maddie, she's a looker. I was okay, Jeff. And I legitimately forgot that Sugar was not her real name.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her sister called her by her, like, government name, and I was like, ah. Oh, right.
Oh, Jessica.
Ah.
Huh? What? Who said that?
And then Jeff is like, thanks for sharing this with me. And I was like, that was really sweet, actually. That's a really nice way to put that, Jeff.
Those moments we like from Jeff. Jeff being a human.
Question.
Answer.
Yes. Do you think that this was the original plan to have all of the loved ones come back to camp? I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Mm.
Or do you think that the Randy shit got so toxic that they were like, can we just do this to make this stop being such a fucking bummer?
I don't know.
Because they've never done anything like that before. They're so harsh usually with the family of like, if you don't win it, you don't win it. You don't even get to hug them. They go away. They don't even send somebody to exile. And it feels like this episode's like a vacation episode where mm-hmm. they were like, okay, guys,
oh, this is the beach
game
episode.
Is too tense. We gotta walk some shit back.
Here's what I think actually happened. I think that they didn't know where to put the product placement in.
Mm.
But they have this money from the product placement.
Right.
And they have the family there, but they really wanted to do this product placement thing. I think they had to plan out quite a bit to both get those videos of those people in their homes, mm-hmm. but then also get them there. So I think that this, if not was the plan, was pretty darn close to the plan.
Okay. It's just interesting because, like, I can see that being the plan with, like, up through Bob getting to see his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But then having all of them come back to camp for the day was just new.
Yes. And I want to call back to something that a previous emailer had said, that they may have had a different plan until Randy was voted out last time.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Because Randy does not have someone there for him.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting.
And I don't know what that would have meant for Survivor.
That meant everyone got somebody except for him, if that was the original plan, or
So I'm wondering,
complicated,
if it would have just been, all right, three people get to go to pizza and enjoy their loved ones.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, thank God, Randy is out of this equation. Therefore, I don't know, we could just let them all have their family a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure somebody write in about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, this challenge, kind of funny to watch, because they draw four captains, and the captains are Susie and Crystal. And Susie picks Maddie and Kenny. Crystal picks Sugar and Bob. Corinne is not chosen.
Whoops.
Oops. Maybe isolating yourself and bashing other people
is harsh to not let her participate at all.
I agree.
But what can you do?
At least that wasn't an instant go to exile, which could have very easily been.
Yeah, and it was at this point I wrote down, like, oh, they're not sending somebody to exile. Is this just trying to pick up spirits from Randy? And lo and behold, it was way more than that.
No, we want you to go see your families. So they start the challenge. They're running through this swamp bog thing. Sugar was tits out in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, you wear the buff as a bra, sometimes you're going to lose it.
Well, and swamp, famously thick.
You don't
say. Shut up.
With two C's.
That swamp dummy thick.
Oh my God. Jeff was really on Crystal dragging Sugar. It didn't look that bad. It looked more like she was giving support when Sugar was like on the ground, or like someone to pull against through that thick swamp.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff's dying on weird hills this season.
Maddie was funny yelling at Kenny, because Kenny's like, I need help. And Maddie's like, I have no hands.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
I am a man that is built of puzzle pieces at the moment.
So the Maddie...
Joker ass.
The Maddie, Kenny, Susie team gets way ahead and then starts working on their puzzle. They probably had, what, a 3-4 minute advantage to go start putting these pieces in.
That makes sense to me.
So then other team gets there, and then just Bob goes to work.
Bob was made for this.
Well,
this is a physics puzzle.
He does what the other tribe or the other team refuses to think about, that this is a motion-based puzzle.
Yeah.
If you want motion, start at one end, make sure it moves, instead of just randomly putting things places and hoping for the best.
Yeah. And, like, maybe Kenny would have been good at this, but he's not going to be as good as Bob.
Yeah. All it takes is make sure your motion is still motioning.
Wise words to live by.
I said what I said. Anyway, Bob wins it, and then they go on to the slide puzzle, and Bob finishes the slide puzzle in, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He
Good for him.
Good for him. He was born for this slide puzzle. Have you ever done a slide puzzle?
Yeah, I'm not good at them. I am not good at them.
But if you figure out the code, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's a big if. That if's doing a lot of work.
Fair, 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 fair. So Bob wins. He gets pizza and a video, an extended video from his wife. And
oh, my.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Before we move on, I do have to point out the slide puzzle kind of looked like Handsome Squidward.
It did. I forgot about that. Pretty funny.
That's just a bit for me and anyone out there. But
anyone out there who's seen Handsome Squidward.
So Bob out there enjoying his pizza and watching the video. Survivor did a good job here.
Yes.
I'm sure they coached every single person to do this same thing, where his wife Peggy's like, hey, hold on a second. I got one thing to show you, and then leaves the frame. And then Bob's like, what?
Oh, they had a PA that was like, go.
Yeah. What do you have to show me? What? And then she comes around the corner behind him.
She thought she was giving him a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Medical standing behind the other tree for sure.
Yeah. So then she gives him a hug. She
says that he smells good.
He smelled like campfire and had a full beard.
His wife's a freak.
Hey, you know what?
To be like, that man who hasn't showered in 31 days smells good.
Like some rough and rugged.
I guess. He cannot smell pleasant.
Yeah. And they kind of skip over this section because I'm sure they enjoy each other, have a great time.
Yeah.
But then Survivor gets them in on the bit where they're coming home and he brings Peggy to camp. And he's like, oh, I meet my wife. She must have been prepped for this because she's trying to like guess everyone's name by the stories that Bob had told. And like people are asking her questions and she's just straight out ignoring them and going like, your name's Kenny, right? I think your name is Kenny.
Now, there's something I want to point out here with the timing of these episodes for broadcast television.
Uh-huh.
And it's a thing we've run into in previous seasons where like, and I think it was March Madness for another season. But there was 2 weeks between this episode and the last episode. There was a recap episode.
Okay.
But I can see a challenge with contemporary audiences being, first of all, some of those early episodes, kind of boring, kind of rough. Like the first episode of the season, not very good.
Sure.
The couple episodes after that, kind of hard to get through. And then you have the Randy episode, which is entertaining, but is like mean and brutal. And if that's not your thing, maybe a week from then, you'll give it another shot. 2 weeks from them, are you really going to come back to it? When and like now we have this very like pleasant episode that is sort of almost healing from the previous one, but it came out 2 weeks later. And how many people fell off the season after Randy was voted out? It's just interesting.
Questions that I do not have an answer for.
No,
but
they're mostly rhetorical, although maybe some people have some like perception that will write in about it.
Mm-hmm.
Perception context. But it's something I thought about when this hit, and I was like, oh yeah, there was a decent sized gap in which people probably just like didn't finish the season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because Survivor is such a thing at this point where obviously the numbers are dwindling, but the diehards are still there.
Sure, that's true.
They're not going to lose a majority of their audience, but what you said is probably not far-fetched for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, they're introducing Peggy, and Bob's like, hey, you know what's really cool? Watch this. Whistles, and then all the other family members come around the corner.
It's great.
It's really nice.
It's really nice.
It's a cute, hugging, loving moment. There were not enough cameras there to get everyone's hugs. Because it's literally a mad dash to go hug their people. Corinne says, it's so nice to have my brother who knows my sense of humor and loves it.
Okay.
Sure. Or puts up with your sense of humor.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to put it. If you tell me Corinne's coming back, I'm going to fight you in the street.
Kenny is talking to his sister, has a secret alliance with Sugar and Crystal. Says the big one, doesn't have to say the big one, but he does.
Says what?
He calls Crystal the big one.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And I guess that's better than the black one.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's not like objectively wrong. It's not wrong.
She's tall.
And it's not mean, but it is weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't be out here calling any woman the big one, but that's just me.
All I want to do. To see you turn into a giant woman. A giant woman. That's Steven Universe.
Yeah.
For those who don't know.
I'm Steven. You're the universe.
I am beyond your comprehension.
Did I just inadvertently call you the big one?
Oh, my.
Oh my. Okay, anyway. Maddie is saying, Kenny is saying, they trust me, I save both of their asses, but I'm going to blindside Maddie.
Not this episode.
Not this episode.
But you tried.
You did try. I took out 5 powerhouses in this game.
Okay.
If I make final 3, I win this game.
Okay. I don't really...
You don't believe that?
I mean, maybe. I did last episode. This episode is really bad for Kenny.
This is a rough episode for Kenny.
It's a rough episode for Kenny. And knowing that, like, hey, are Charlie's friends on the jury gonna vote for you if you were calling him a slur? I don't know. I don't think they're gonna.
Sugar and her sister sit on the dock, and Sugar's sister brought her dad's ashes with her, or like some of the ashes.
Yeah.
And they spread the ashes in the water, which is a very sweet thing. The conversation is interesting, though, because it goes on the, hey, I brought dad to Africa, and part of him gets to stay here in Africa. And the sentiment, very, very nice.
Sure.
But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, did your dad want to be in Africa? Does he want to stay in Africa?
You know, I want my remains scattered around Disney World.
Don't say that, because then...
But I don't want to be cremated.
You asshole.
No, I mean, whatever. When I die, put me into ash and, I don't know, throw me around the world. Who cares? I'm not using... It's not my body. I'm not using it anymore. You know?
That's a good point.
Yeah. We are but dust. We are but dust.
No. All we are is dust in the wind. Anyway, and the last big thing here, Maddie proposes to his girlfriend. I've always been weak. I want to share my life with you. He lists a lot of things that he wants to be a part of.
He seems like he's having a psychotic breakdown while he's proposing to her.
He is just so excited to see his girlfriend.
Did he make that ring hoping to make the family visit so that she would come and he could propose to her?
I don't know. He definitely made it for her. Yeah. That was like episode 2.
Yeah, no, I remember that. It's just like, was this a plan or did you just go, wait a minute?
This is Maddie, the moment.
Yes.
I need to propose to you right now.
It's, yeah. And Maddie says, it goes on some weird rambly rant about how there's gold in all of us. There's gold in them hills.
They, them hills.
every non-binary person has gold inside of them. He's got to mine it out.
Every hill is non-binary. Oh my God. Anyway,
we're particularly unhinged today.
Why not? This has been like this whole season.
This is so one of two.
Let's
today.
Just keep going. Yeah, he gives the ring on a necklace and she says yes, so everything's good there.
He eventually gets down on one knee. It took him a really long fucking time.
He wasn't worried about the getting on one knee. He just wanted to ask the question real bad. Yeah, so then they all go and I don't know. It's nice. They all had a nice moment.
Yes.
A nice day.
This episode is not, like, the best episode of Survivor ever, but it's, like, it's wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we get rid of the cancer.
Sure.
Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
We then huddle up our 5. This is the 5. We're great. We just got to get rid of Bob and Corinne. Bob is the big threat. He goes first. Well, unless he wins immunity. Bob and Corinne also huddling up. Hey, you remember when Marcus had the immunity idol?
First thing from the conversation before.
Yeah.
Just a very small thing, but it's very funny. Sugar, like, tripped. They left it in for no reason. They very easily could have started the clip after she tripped. They just left it in because why not?
Nah, man.
Anyway, Bob and Corinne.
My entire Survivor experience would just be me tripping.
They would show a montage at the reunion of you tripping.
The supercut of Steven tripping over bridges. Or branches. Maybe also bridges.
Maybe bridges. Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Jeff Bridges.
Bob and Corinne huddled up. Like you said, Marcus, what if Marcus didn't throw the idol in the ocean? He hit it here, but he didn't have a chance to use it.
Okay, I know we're running long because we're talking about...
Two episodes.
Yeah. But this makes me mad. I'm angry.
Because of how it was edited?
Well, no, I mean, the next time, I don't know if I fell for it. If I made it sound like I fell for it in the previous episode. I didn't think that Bob had the idol, but because it didn't make any sense. But part of me is like, then what the fuck is he talking about? So he made a second fake, is what we're getting to.
Uh-huh.
And their plan, kind of jumping ahead, is Bob needs to win immunity, and he needs to give Corinne the second fake, and then convince them all that the second fake is real, so that they will then vote out Maddie, because what if they played the second fake? And here is, in no particular order, a list of problems with that plan.
Uh-huh.
One, okay, if I'm somebody on the outside, and you say you had this plan, why didn't you give the real one to Randy? Why did you give him a fake one? Two, why didn't Marcus use the real one to protect himself? And you say he couldn't get to it, but that doesn't make any sense. You could have just given it to him out in the open at the challenge. That's allowed. Why would you not? If you think he's at risk of going home, it would protect him. Three, well, then why wouldn't you all vote for Corinne anyway if they're going to vote out Maddie? Just that gets rid of the idol. You don't want them to have it. So make them play it or send Corinne home. 4, Bob's already made a really good fake.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think he wouldn't make another one?
Yeah.
That's 4 really big problems. That means that during this plan, clown music should have been playing underneath it. This should have been one of those that's like, why the fuck would this ever work? And then it works on kinda one person,
yeah,
which it shouldn't. How the fuck does this... And also want to point out, these Bob fake idols are impeccable.
They're great.
They are really amazing. Good. He's made 2 separate ones. Oh, and oh, I'm sorry. Problem number 5. He says, and I quote, roughly, because it's been a couple of days, he only put the string in the bottle. This is the real one. You put a bunch of beads around the string of the idol. Why would you do that if it was a real idol? Because you just said the string of the real idol went in the bottle. So you took the time to put beads on the new string? It contradicts your story. It's not the most important one, but it's the 5th one. Rant over.
Hey, is it you done?
I'm sure I'll think of number 6.
I have a number 6 for you, but we're going to get back to that number 6. And
none of that was written down, by the way. Those are 5 things I thought of off the top of my head.
No, that was just Jared getting mad. Yeah, and Corinne's like, is that legit? No, but it sounded pretty good, didn't it? Cue applause. There we go. Good job, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
So yeah, Bob goes and he makes another idol, and it is good. So.
It is. To his credit, it would fool me in a vacuum.
And Corinne says what we're all thinking here. One of us has to win immunity, otherwise this plan doesn't work.
That's not the reason this plan shouldn't work. Certainly one of the reasons.
Cue the immunity challenge. We are playing, it's trivia, but also lawn bowling. You're answering questions, and for each question you get correct, you get an extra ball for you to lawn bowl with.
I have a problem with the first question.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, first let's talk about the actual challenge. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Sorry,
stunning.
Long distance long bowling.
Yes, down a hill.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's really cool.
It's a really cool environment. They used it to their advantage. Again, in non-island seasons, this is the kind of stuff I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
What was that first question, Steven?
True or false, gorillas were first discovered here in Gabon.
By who?
That is a question.
What does discovered mean? Because I guarantee you the people that lived in Gabon knew they were there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And in other places in the world where there are gorillas, because Gabon has the most gorillas, but not exclusively all of the gorillas, they knew gorillas existed. So is this just, I mean, we know the answer, right? It's the white Western world.
Right.
It's probably Britain, specifically.
But it's weird that this was how they chose to go about this.
It is, because it's objectively not provable.
We don't deal with the semantics of provability on Survivor. No.
That's why they shored up those contracts after Africa.
Anyway, the answer that we go with is true, and only Sugar and Corinne get it right. Number 2, a male elephant is called a bull. A female is called a doe, cow, or a mare. Cow being the correct answer. Sugar, Susie, Corinne, and Bob get that one right. 3, a Gabonese viper is harmless to humans. It's poisonous, but also harmless to humans. And Jeff gets real sassy with this one.
Yeah, because you should know.
Yeah, that's false. Poisonous is bad for humans, my friend.
Yeah.
And 4, an elephant's trunk is its nose, arm, and mouth.
Who thought it was their mouth?
Susie and Crystal.
Yeah, okay.
That's one of those you sit and you think about it for more than 2 seconds. You're like, wait, no. It's not eating anything out of its mouth. Or out of its nose.
That's its nose.
Yeah. It's using its nose to bring things to its mouth. Mouth. Mouth.
To its mouth. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, sure.
So history, according to Wikipedia, history and entomology of gorilla.
Oh, God.
The word gorilla comes from the history of Hanno the Navigator, a Carthaginian explorer on an expedition to West African coast to the area that later became Sierra Leone. So already, under its own premise, that question is wrong.
We're just going by vibes on Survivor. Don't worry about it.
Well, kind of, actually. Members of the expedition encountered savage people, quote-unquote, savage people. This is Roman speak.
Savages.
The greater part of whom were women whose bodies were hairy and whom interpreters called gorillae. It's unknown whether the explorers countered whether what we now call gorillas or another species of ape monkeys or humans. Still, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's, okay, rant over.
Okay. Anyway, then we play the bowling portion of the challenge where we're just throwing balls down the hill. The first time that Maddie goes, or not Maddie, Kenny goes, and he just like yeets it down the hill, I went, ho! Because I wasn't really expecting that. I expected more of the sugar route of like kind of lob underhand it and then let gravity take its course. But no, we're just like shot put it out into the universe and then bounce it somewhere in the sand. Maddie leads most of this, and then Bob jumps in and nobody catches Bob. Bob leads. Bob beats himself. Sugar almost gets there, but doesn't quite get there. So Bob wins. So he performs his half of the master plan, wins immunity, putting Corinne in a real bad spot.
Well, or a real good spot if their stupid ass plan works.
So Bob and Corinne, they get together, they shore up their story, and then we have to go, we have to float this idea to somebody. So who do we go here? All right, let's go to Kenny. Corinne?
I wouldn't have thought that was a good bet. But they knew something I didn't.
Clearly.
Because he's in the power position.
Mm-hmm.
Why flip? Like, and again, see points 1 through 5 of why this plan shouldn't work. Kenny should be smarter than this.
Sure. But?
But he's not.
But he's not, because Corinne goes to Kenny and is like, hey, you can't tell anyone about this. Okay, I'll tell you, I guess. Marcus didn't get rid of the idol. We have the idol. It's here. So, want to take out Maddie? And Ken's like, oh, I'm seeing gold. Like, I guess this is the perfect opportunity. I want him gone anyway, but...
Yeah, well, did he just want to believe it because he wanted Maddie gone?
Could be.
Also, the American physician and missionary Thomas Staunton Savage,
oh my God,
and
Jared.
naturalist Jeffries Wyman first described the Western gorilla in 1847 from specimens obtained in Liberia. Please continue.
Jared's real upset about this one.
It's so objectively wrong. On like 7 different levels.
Fair. So Kenny then plays this game of like, maybe I have to jump ship, but we need one more to actually make it work. So let's bring in Crystal. And Corinne says, this shouldn't work at all. It just shows you the level of incompetence we're working with. And you're right.
That's fair.
But, oof. So then Bob makes this idol, shows Crystal, and they're totally on board here. But Kenny is worried about this idol. So he's like, we got to flush this idol. So Crystal, you vote for Corinne, and we just want to make sure that she actually plays it. And if she doesn't play it, then I'm going to vote for Maddie. Thus, here's my biggest problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for him to vote for Maddie.
Agreed.
Because
they're already voting for Maddie.
Numerically, they're voting for Maddie. And
if the two of them are lying to you and vote for you, then your vote on Maddie is not going to do you anything anyway, because
no.
Crystal still... I guess if Crystal went Maddie, it'd be 2-2-2.
But the way that they set it out is that Crystal's still on Corinne, so even at worst, they lie, she doesn't play the idol, or if she does play the idol, then we still have a 2-2 split.
Yeah, this whole plan is a disaster.
Like, there's nothing... I think what I said was mathematically wrong, but still, there's no reason for this.
Agreed.
So you just put yourself in a bad spot because there are now three votes for Maddie for no good reason.
Yeah. This whole, like, is Kenny just doing the Todd and, like, playing too hard? I mean, it worked for Todd. He won the game.
Sure.
But, like, just making moves to make moves? I don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something just kind of hit me out of nowhere with the elephant question. Y'all watched them eat.
Uh-huh.
Y'all saw the elephant across the river eat with its mouth. Anyway, yes, okay. The plan. The bad plan.
The bad plan. Did you have anything else before Tribal?
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of Crystal for seeing through it, I guess. But, and like, Corinne knows it's a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, like, if this episode had gone that, like, Kenny voted for Corinne,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, he never believed her in the first place. That'd be stupid to do so. But his money ended up where his mouth was, so he apparently believed this was real.
He believed it. And you know what? I can't blame him for believing it. I still think the strategy is just bad.
Yeah, well, especially because, like, there's an argument I could see somebody making of, like, well, no, Kenny just wanted Maddie out more and so chose to believe it or thought it was convenient for him, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't a real idol.
Right.
But I don't think Maddie's a bigger threat than Corinne or Bob because they have so many friends on that jury.
I guess if it is real and you want to pull favor and then you look like you're on the right side of the vote if you do that. But, like, eh.
I don't know, man. It's too cute.
It's pretty cute. He does say, if this works, I'll be the biggest strategist in Survivor history. Well,
it did not you got work. Played. Also, remember that Susie's in this game? Because I didn't. Like, you were just doing the numbers, and I was like, who's the seventh person? Oh, right, it's Susie.
Yeah. Anyway, we go to Tribal, and paranoia is the talk about this Tribal. Corinne talks how paranoia could be in my favor. Like, paranoia from that side puts me in an okay spot, which is one red flag that both Crystal and Kenny should be thinking about.
100%.
Sugar talks about how the paranoia could make people believe lies, and boy, is she spot on here.
Every Tribal is Sugar just looking around going, everyone around me is insane.
Maybe a little bit.
I love her. I'm obsessed with her. She's such a good Survivor contestant on such a weird season. Or actually, I don't even know that about that. I don't even know if she's a good Survivor contestant, but she's managed to stay sane on this clown show of a season.
She is a good voice of reason for a lot of this.
Which is not something I would have anticipated.
Right. You're like, ah, yes, of course. The pinup model is the one who is going to be the one who drives this story for me.
Naturally.
Naturally. Crystal talks about, you know what? The whole trick of this game is knowing when to trust someone and when to cut your ties. Yeah, that's Survivor, baby.
Yep.
Good. And then we vote. Jeff gets the position of, all right, if anyone has an advantage, they would like to play. Now is the time.
Idol.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we're not at advantage part. Yep. And we look around. Cool. Maddie head shakes. Yeah, we're good. Boy, he didn't expect to see his name three times.
No. And that's going to cause some problems.
You don't say.
Because two of those votes, you know who it was. The third one,
you didn't know who that was.
Didn't know who that was. I think you narrow it down.
So Corinne is gone on a 4-3 line. How do you think Corinne does in Future Survivor?
Not good. This is farther than she should have made it. Maybe I'm biased just because I don't like her. But it doesn't seem like anybody else really did either. I mean, her alliance did, I guess. But she's so performatively mean. Even her post-game is like, she's mad at Sugar,
mm-hmm.
who had nothing to do with it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just feel like she's usually probably a pretty early vote. Like, she isn't... The most dangerous part of the game for her is the early game, because she's not, rightly or wrongly, and I think mostly wrongly, a smaller woman is not seen as... Or is seen as expendable, right? Seen as somebody that you can get rid of to make your tribe stronger. I think that's not the case, but she didn't really stand out in challenges either.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real reason to keep her around unless you want her vote.
She's a good number.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, she proved that she was loyal to her people this
that's
entire
true.
Time.
Yeah.
She was a very loyal numbers person.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems like she's kind of hard to live with. So she, like, if she has the right group and clicks with it, like mm-hmm. she with Coda, she could, if her alliance wins, she could make it to the top four, top five. But I think from everything that she has said of, like, that she struggled, like, oh, I hate people. Ugh. Mm-hmm. She knows the game. She knows she's playing the game. But I think that if you really do dislike the people around you, it's going to bleed out, especially for her. That's like, it's so hard to be nice to these people. And I think, you know, 3 out of 4 tribes, she's not going to gel with enough of them that she's going to go home early because she starts conflicts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joke's on you, Jared. She is coming back.
Fucking hell. Why? You're kidding, right?
No.
Why?
This is, it's going to be a little bit of a break between. She's coming back in Karamoan Fans versus Favorites 2.
Ugh. She's a favorite?
She is a favorite.
I can think of 10 other women that were snubbed. If you want to keep the, you know, if you want to keep the tribe gender balanced or whatever, that deserve the spot way more than her.
She is a shock jockey kind of person here. She fits a certain niche that some people at this time watching Survivor really like.
Ugh.
So take that with what you will.
Ugh.
Your protagonist of the
episode.
Back the,
bring back like the girl from China that started fights. Mm. Like, I'll take her over Corinne. At least that was who she was. Sure. Not this weird, oh God, I do not like her. I don't know what Eric thinks of her. Protagonist of the episode?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's Bob. Pretty sure it's Bob. It hasn't been Bob yet.
It's fair.
Not that that's, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter, but he's the one that makes the idol. He's the one that wins immunity. He's the one that has this plan, the consequences of which fall on Corinne and now Kenny, but he's the driver of the action.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins the reward challenge. He gets everyone their family visit.
Nice.
Yeah. Challenge Beast Bob. Who would have seen it?
Challenge Beast Bob. Cool. Anything else you'd like to say before we shut this down?
That is all. Bumper. You good?
Nah. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn to Make Time podcast. Felt like I'd, I don't know, squeeze that bumper out.
Gonna leave that. Just gonna leave that where it is.
You don't want to. You want to say anything about that?
No,
I lofted up a softball for you.
Yeah.
Cool. What would you like to promote, Jared?
4-day work week. We need a 4-day work week. It, like, we would all just be more well-rounded and better people with a 4-day work week. Something that I think our generation, the generations at, and like Gen Z and hopefully Gen Alpha are starting to discover is that you do your best work when you're well-rested.
Mm-hmm.
And like people that are working 80, 90-hour weeks, like, they're not doing that because their best work is done between hours 41 and 80. Like what they found, like video game companies, for example, like that push crunch is that they spend more time fixing the mistakes that they made while they were crunching than if they would have just done shorter work weeks and shorter work days. And hopefully we can move towards that, though I'm not super hopeful in the short term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly not going to happen in the next 4 years.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote, and this is going to sound sarcastic, being correct. Steven had a moment this last week. I had to bring my pet to the vet. So, easy. Great. Get in. They charge a lot of money. It's a vet that's going to happen. But
veterinary medicine is the newest industry being hit by private equity.
Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah. The last 5 years. Yep.
I have pet insurance, though. Mm-hmm. So, like, I came prepared for this. And I submitted my claim to pet insurance. The biggest problem is that my vet forgot to charge us for one of the things that they did. So they sent us two bills.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing was more expensive than most of the other things. So I submit both of these bills and pet insurance comes back and is like, great, here is your refund for $11. And I went, huh?
That's not right.
No. So I go on and I'm trying to figure out what they did and why they said I only get $11 back. Some of it, they said that my cat has pre-existing anxiety, which is true. So fine,
totally
whatever. But that only covered like $50 of the total. That covered the medication to bring him back. Anyway, this is a long story. What they did is they caused the second bill to be, they marked it as a duplicate.
Oh,
because it was close enough in price that they're like, oh yeah, this is just another copy of the same bill. But it was not a duplicate. So I went on, I'm like, hey, how do I file an appeal for this claim? And the person's like, don't. I see the mistake that they made. I'm sending this back to claims.
Nice.
Thank you, random citizen. That was great. So yeah, I got my money.
Good for you.
I got most of my money. The $250 deductible is pretty steep, but
insurance is such a fucking scam.
Yeah. I'm paying money to pay more money. Great. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Hey, you want to do this again?
You need that kneecap?
No.
Want to creak? I'm not even going to make the joke of committing insurance fraud. They'll come for me.
Hit me with your car, Steven.
No.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.